Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night service by way of Facebook Live. And we are narrowing down back into our in-person services on Wednesday, and we'll let you know about that this coming Sunday, but it's going to be soon, maybe even be next week. But nonetheless, we hope you've been having a great week this week. And God has given us some great weather, minus the pollen thing, of course. But anyway, it's just that time of year when one season's rolling out and one is rolling in. But thank you for joining us, and I want to say we love you. We appreciate you. The Lord appreciates your faithfulness. And tonight we're going to take a quick look at our prayer list and mention some folks and have a time of prayer like we normally do on Wednesday nights. And then we're going to bring our lesson for this evening. Brother Rusty's home from the hospital. Many of you know that, but I spoke with Brother Rusty yesterday, and he's doing good. I say he's doing good. He's doing better than he was when he went into the emergency room, the hospital. And so he's, of course, he's still, you know, got some things going on that he's trying to get over with this virus and all. But him and Miss Chris as well are on their road to recovery. So we praise the Lord for Brother Rusty being home. And Brother Jim Daly, he had his procedure on Monday. And Brother Jim did great with that. I know that was a concern of many, including myself. But we praise the Lord for Brother Jim going through that 4 to 6 hours of, you know, being under and going home and everything being okay. So let's continue to pray, though, for Brother Jim, Miss Dawn, Jim Jr. and family, so that we can see in days to come how much this procedure worked. And let's continue to remember the Tidwells. And just last Tuesday, was Ben Tidwell's father's funeral. And, of course, that's Miss Linda's husband. But let's remember them in prayer. Spoke with them yesterday, and they're managing okay. So let's just remember them. Let's remember Brother Larry Rich. And he's the... I guess he's still holding that position, but I know that he's in a home right now, or at least he's living with maybe his son in Cedartown. Larry Rich, pastor of Victory Baptist Church there on Austell Road. My great aunt has been a member there, seems like 200 years. But let's remember him. He has a lot of things going on, COVID, blood clots, dementia, things like that. And so we're praying for Brother Larry Rich. Miss Cassie Karanovich, continue to remember her. Brother Leonard Palmer, I know he went on Monday for to a lung doctor. And I know he has another schedule on the calendar for another doctor. So we are continuing to pray for the Palmers. David and Glenda Henderson, let's continue to remember Claude, a good friend of the family. And I believe Claude is under 24-hour care now at a home. And so let's remember him and their families. James and Shirley Townsend, it's good to see them Sunday. Of course, they've been coming regular. But let's continue to remember them both as a couple in prayer. And let's remember our children's home. The staff and the children. Some may have seen our post we put the other day on the church page. But on the 25th, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism service. And Kevin Brooke, who lives at the home, has asked to be baptized. He's been saved, just hasn't been baptized. And Brother Kevin has been growing in leaps and bounds. And man, he is a spiritual poet as well. Some of you heard some of his poetry on a couple of our last youth Sundays, but we're going to do that on the 25th. Actually, I've asked Brother Brian, wanted Brother Brian to be part of that service. because of Kevin being part of the home, wanted all of us to join together. And so Brother Brian Busby will be preaching on the 25th that morning, and then I will conclude the service with baptizing Kevin. And so that's going to be a great service, may have some special singing, so you pray for that. Let's remember Harold Dolph in our prayers with his health situations. Charlie Wilson, who's pretty much just been a shut-in, let's remember him. His wife, Marcia Turner, and the new medication she's taken for the lower chamber of her heart. Melissa Slagle, and let's remember her in our prayers. Brother Don, Sister Carla Rich, they're getting close time for them to come home here to Georgia. And so we're looking forward to that, seeing them. I know they got a busy schedule when they get here with all the churches they're going to go see and visit that supports them. But we're glad to have them back. So let's remember them. Let's remember Celine and Catherine Plemons. And Brother Celine's boss has cancer, and he is going through chemo. Of course, let's remember Miss Catherine's mom, that is Miss Marge, in our prayers. Several things going on with her. Let's remember Miss Catherine, and that God will give her grace and strength and energy to take care of her and her church duties here at the church. And as I mentioned a moment ago, Jan and Don Daly, we're covering them in prayer. The Teagues, I spoke with Miss Connie, and she's better from her sickness she had. And Brother Larry had, a few weeks ago, had a surgery, but then he had to have a couple stents put in his nasal area. And so Larry hurt me talking to him. But nonetheless, Brother Larry's doing better. Miss Connie's doing better. Miss Christie's doing good. And so her brother Bill, we still need to pray for, but he is doing a little better. Just needs our extra prayers. Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Barbara Anderson down here at the rehab center. Let's always remember her in prayer. Jenny Clanton, Randy, and Diane Ely, her brother, and the cancer he has. Ed and Marianne Sandy. Brother Ed's doing outstanding, and been coming, him and Miss Mary been coming to the services and on Sunday night. And Brother Ed has been through it and with the strokes and all and all of that. But if you were to walk in here on a Sunday morning and look at Brother Ed, he is sitting there in his place, smiling, ready to worship the Lord. Him and Miss Mary Ann both. And so we just praise the Lord for such a saints as they are, and what an inspiration. And let's see, Gerald and Francis Carroll, their health, Annie and Joanne Rich, Miss Mary, and Lee Ellen as well. Of course, Joanne Rich, her daughter Ashley, then Allen, Eli, and Bentley. Let's remember our shut-ins tonight. The McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, and some others. Our Marine, James Tolan Brown, and Miss Kim Merritt, brain cancer there at Pleasant Hill. Also, she belongs to Pleasant Hill Baptist. This Friday, I have it wrote down on three or four different pieces of paper at home on my desk, but this Friday is going to be the surgery of Jeff and Sharon Hodges' son-in-law, Chris. And so please, please, please remember on Friday, Thursday night going into Friday, to pray for him. And so we're praying that God will touch him and remove this tumor through the hands of the doctors, and so that he might recover from that. Let's remember our community tonight. Let's remember our state, the state of Georgia. Let's remember the United States, everything that's taking place, all this stuff. With of course the virus, but then at the same time all of the riots that's been breaking out here lately. I want to say I'm probably wrong, but somewhere up north, I believe it is, there's been a riot breaking out, and they were talking about potential riots here in Atlanta. So let's remember that. Let's remember one another. Let's remember our church. And we appreciate Calvary, appreciate you. And we love you. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we'll bring the lesson. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we're thankful, we're grateful that we're able to be here. And to be able, Lord, to open your book one more time, Lord, to be a blessing, to enlighten, to help. Father, we pray for all of these requests tonight. You know the lengthy prayer list. And God, I know there's other needs and other requests that those watching may have. And so, Lord, we pray for these tonight, these people, that your will would be done. Lord, tonight we pray for Jim Daly. You'll continue to strengthen him. Lord, and Miss Dawn and family, and God, that you would touch Rusty and Chris, this COVID mess that they're going through. And Lord, when Friday comes, we pray that the day will already be set for victory. Guide the hands of the doctors, Lord, and be with them, be with Chris during the surgery. Let him be better than he was before. And Lord, just take care of the situation so he can praise you. We love you tonight. We thank you for who you are and for the things that you do. You're God. We're not. You're in control. We have no control. So, Lord, tonight, because of that, we ask that you'll take control and give us your peace to live from day to day in the midst of life's battles and struggles. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Tonight, we're going to just a moment, read a verse out of Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 is going to be our place of reading in just a second. And I want to mention a certain topic tonight, rather different than what I normally speak about. But yet it's needful. There are some things I'm going to bring out in this topic that I hope will be of your interest, be a blessing and a help to you. And tonight I want to talk about a subject that has the power to influence and change lives. The subject matter tonight is precious and delicate to each that know Jesus as their Savior. If this particular thing is ever squandered or not cared for, people will have a hard time taking us serious or even listening to what we have to say. And so with that said tonight, as you see on your screen, I want to talk to you on this subject, a talk about testimonies. A talk about testimonies. What is a testimony? Basically, a testimony is a declaration of one's faith. It's a declaration. It's declaring to the world of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the story that goes with it, how that you came to Christ in faith, saving faith. Every Christian, I believe, tonight should be able to say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Every Christian, anyone who professes that they know Jesus as their Savior, there ought to be a deep-seated peace in their heart. There ought to be an assurance in their heart. If you go and read the epistles of John, you'll know that much of John's writings has to do with assurance of the believer. And so every Christian tonight should be able to say, I know I'm saved. That's not a hope so, maybe so, but it's a no so. I know I'm saved. We should take every opportunity along with that knowledge to share what the Lord has done for us, and we should never, never, no, never be ashamed of the gospel. Again, tonight we're talking about a talk about testimonies. A testimony is that declaration of faith. And every Christian should be able to say that, I know I'm saved. We should take opportunity to share our faith unashamedly. If you notice this verse here in Romans chapter number 1, in verse number 16, Paul says this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So Paul is saying, how can I be ashamed at this life-saving gospel that changed my life? I'm sure Paul could say that. How could I be ashamed? In fact, Paul was so unashamed of the gospel because of how God transformed his life. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation." So Paul says that he's not ashamed. And we know that Paul, on several occasions, specifically in the book of Acts, that he gave his testimony. He shared his testimony. And on one occasion, I remember writing, actually not long ago, about Felix. And how that Paul, he preached righteousness to him, and he shared the things concerning his own faith coming to the Lord. And the Bible says that Felix trembled. He trembled. But then he told Paul, "Go thy way, and I will call for thee when I have a convenient season." And you never read that season ever came. But nonetheless, Paul was a man who told of his grace experience. Always, whether it was in a castle before kings, whether it was in a royal jail attached to prison guards, no matter where it was, Paul was always ready, unashamed, to share his testimony, declare his faith. And tonight, I want to look into that word testimony and the phrase, a talk about testimonies. I want to show you three things about testimonies. And again, when I say testimony, I'm talking about our experience of grace, our declaration of faith to the world. And so what is it tonight that's so special about testimonies? Well, number one, we say that a testimony is personal. A testimony is personal. Listen to this. We all have our own personal testimonies of how we came to the Lord in salvation. Some could tell their story of a rough past. Some could tell their story of a good past. While some were raised in church, others may have never been to church. You see, all of our personal experiences, our testimony, our encounter with God, they're all different. They're all different. Some may have come to the Lord having a rough previous past. There may be others who had not a bad rough past, but a good past, and came to the Lord on those terms. And again, some may have been churched, and some may not have been churched. But the truth of the matter is tonight, when it comes to testimonies, that testimonies are personal. They're personal. Whether you have a rough past or a good past, whether you were raised in church or not, all of these people must be saved. And when they do, that will be their personal testimony. Their testimony will be that they had a rough past, and then I came to Jesus. Another person, and you can talk to people and discover this, that there's various testimonies. Some of them might say, "Well, you know, I had a good upbringing. I didn't experience a rough past. I didn't dabble into drugs and alcohol." And that's fine. That is actually a great testimony. To be able to say that I never tried those things that the world did. And I never allowed the world to mock up my body and to cause sin to run on my body, to run damage on my body. And what a testimony that is tonight for someone to have come from a good background and came to faith in Christ. Or to sometimes have rough testimonies. And then we know that some raised in church, some not raised in church. And so tonight, it's everybody has their own personal testimony. And I don't want to say this. Not one of these testimonies I mentioned are greater than the other. A lot of times we hear testimonies of, you know, this one was a drunkard, he was a dope addict, God miraculously, you know, saved this man, and now he's in church and, you know, preaching and whatnot, you know, coming to church faithfully. And a lot of people, you know, they basically just, you know, all over that. And then, again, as I was just saying, you may have somebody over here who was raised in church their whole life and went to church every Sunday, but wasn't saved until they realized they were lost. That's a whole other testimony. There's been all kinds of people in the church world of our day in times past that go to church time and time again, are raised in church, and look, they thought that they were saved because they went to church faithfully with their parents or whatnot, but to come to the conclusion that they weren't saved, that's a testimony tonight. A wonderful testimony. And so everybody has their own testimonies this evening. And no one of these testimonies is greater than the other. We just all have our own story to tell. Well, it's amazing to have a testimony of a rough past. It's also amazing to have a testimony, again, like I just said, of being raised in church and not having had been wrecked and ruined by the world. So therefore, tonight, testimonies are personal. What's your testimony tonight? Where, and I know you can't speak to me and I can't hear you, but just think to yourself, do some reminiscing tonight. When the Lord found you, where were you at? What kind of past did you have? Did he find you out in the world and drinking and drugging, or did he find you just being faithful in your job? Did he find you just being faithful in church as a churchgoer? You see, what I'm getting at is we all have a personal testimony. Now, I want to mention three in the Bible in their personal testimonies. Turn to John chapter number 4, if you would, for a moment. John 4, in verse number 28, we see the woman at the well. We know that Jesus, in chapter number 4, in verse number 4, the Bible tells us, and he must needs go through Samaria. And we know that he went to this well, and we know that he met a woman there, and she was drawing water from the well, of course, from her pot, her water pot. Jesus engaged in conversation and told her that if you drink of the water I had to offer, you'll never thirst again. And we know that she accepted that. Look in verse number 28 of John chapter number 4. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That was her testimony. That one day she was at this well and she was drawing water for her thirst and all of that. And then she met this man named Jesus, and he told her things that nobody else knew. And she believed in him and believed on his name. And so that was her testimony, that she traded her well pot for a well of living water. Her testimony was that I came to the well one way and I left a different way. I say this verse or this story of the Samaritan woman, a good title actually for a sermon, Come to the Well. I believe, I can't remember the singing group, but they have a song out and it's called Come to the Well. Come to the Well. And so this lady here, she came to the well. She left with a well. She left her water pot. That was her personal testimony. And then flip over to John chapter number 9. Notice in verse number 24, the blind man. John 9 and verse 24, they again called they, the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That was the testimony, his personal testimony that this blind man had. And it was simply this, that he spent his whole life, can't see a thing, blind. And then Jesus came by and touched his eyes. And his testimony is, when he was asked about the situation, he says, I don't know about all of that. All I can say was, I was blind and now I see. That was the blind man's personal testimony. In like manner, church, that's our testimony. Because before we were saved and accepted Jesus, we were blind. And we were blinded by sin, and blinded by the devil, and blinded by the flesh, and we were separated from God. But then, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, it was like those scales were lifted from our eyes, and we could finally see things for how they really are. And so we see that this could be much of our testimony. I was blind, and now I see. But it was certainly the blind man's testimony. I was blind, now I see. What about Mark chapter number 5? Turn to Mark 5 for a moment. Mark 5, we have the maniac man of Gadara. And we see that this maniac man, this demonic man, he, of course, he had an unclean spirit, verse number 2 says. But notice in verse number 18, this is after he met Jesus. Verse number 18 says, of Mark 5, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to tell thy friends, and to tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You see, his testimony was this. He was possessed with the devil. He had an unclean spirit. Verse number 3, he lived in the cemetery. That was his testimony. Can you imagine? Being this man, having lived in a cemetery, being possessed by a devil, and then meeting Jesus, and then your life is changed, and you're going to Decapolis to tell everybody what God has done for you. And part of her testimony was, I used to live in the cemetery. I used to be possessed with a devil and live in a cemetery with an unclean spirit. Can you imagine that? I can only imagine, but that's not my testimony, it's his. We say in verse number 3 that the Bible says, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no not with chains. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound and with fetters and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Verse 5 says he was crying day and night and cutting himself with stones. What a testimony. Verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And so we have this man, this maniac man, who went from a demonic man to a divine messenger because he met Jesus. And part of his personal testimony was, I was a cemetery dweller. I lived in the graveyard. I was possessed. I was depressed, crying and cutting myself with stones. But then Jesus came. I seen Jesus and ran to him, and he cast those devils out of me. Then I was different. What a blessing tonight. That is this man's testimony. And again, I ask, what's your testimony? What's my testimony? We all have a personal testimony. So tonight, when it comes to talking about testimonies, we say that a testimony is personal. But number two tonight, a testimony is powerful. Listen to this. A personal testimony can reach others because life stories are powerful, especially if Jesus is part of them. Life stories tonight are powerful. And if Jesus is in that story, it is most powerful. Some people may have a bad view on church. And some people may not even go to church, even when you invite them. I have family and friends that will not go, me personally. And so some people, they have a bad view on church, and they may not go initially to church. But if you share your testimony, if you share your experience with God's grace and how you came to the Lord, you could very well win them to Jesus. That will open the door. Many times a testimony, your testimony, and how you came to the Lord can open up their heart where they're willing to receive the gospel. I can remember when I first got saved, and I was over at Earn House, the gym where I got saved at, and, you know, guys come in and work out and talk and a lot of bad language and things like that. And so much of them people just thought I was that way. They just thought that I was one of them. They just thought that, you know, I used bad language and talked about bad things. And so many a times, they would start talking and they would say something and, you know, and pat me on the shoulder and say, "What about you?" And it was my opportunity to give my testimony and to tell them and anyone listening that my life was a wreck and a ruin. It was a pile of ashes. I was a drunkard. I drank alcohol. I did all those things. But then I let Jesus and my life change right there in that office of Our House Fitness. And I'll tell you, many times, those same people that were unwilling to go to church because of a testimony came to church, and many of them actually got saved. To me, testimonies are powerful because it's a person's life story. How they were changed. Can you imagine that Maniac Metagadera coming upon others in similar situations? You know, in Decapolis and others living on the streets and in the tombs, and here this man is that used to be the same way. Think about the influence and think about how he could reach that one. I'm telling you tonight that testimonies are powerful. So, some people may have a bad view of church and not go initially, but by sharing your testimony, undergirded with the gospel, can win them to Christ. Now, look at the powerful result from the woman at the well, which she shared her testimony back in John chapter number 4. So she said in verse number 28 that the Bible says the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She shared her testimony. Verse 29, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, look over, if you would, in verse number 39. This is the result of sharing her testimony. It was powerful. Verse number 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying
mind of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them above their 2 days. Listen to this. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Lord, we believe not because of thy sins, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so you see that this lady, the Samaritan, she had her own testimony. She left her pot and left with the water, and then she started to share her story. Well, this man, Jesus, told me all these things ever I did. And the Bible says that many believed off that. And then because of that, that started a revival, really. Or at least many people getting saved. Many more got saved. And then in verse number 42, there were those who started to say yes to Jesus, not even because of their own immortal testimony. God was burning so heavily in their area. Nonetheless, we see the testimonies are powerful. We see the woman at the well, how she got saved, and then showed her testimony and the results. Listen, sometimes, in a lot of cases, not being discouraging, just being realistic, a lot of times, you ask somebody when they come to church with you, if they don't know Jesus, they're not coming. Every once in a while, someone that doesn't know Jesus, and you ask them to come, they'll come. But sometimes there's those who won't come. If you just take a moment at the right time and share your testimony, there is no limit to what God can do with that. It's amazing. It's powerful. And of course, we mentioned the maniac man of Gadara. But let me mention this again about him, Mark 5. Talk about a testimony is powerful. Mark 5, look at verse number 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Listen to this. And all men did marvel. Testimonies are powerful. Testimonies can reach people. And these people, these men, did marvel. The word marvel means to admire or to be in wonder. At least their appetite was wet for the gospel. All because of this man, this maniac man who met Jesus and shared his testimony. These others were astonished and amazed. The power of a testimony that can reach others. Let me mention one more thing and we'll bring it to a close tonight. Talk about testimonies. We say a testimony is personal. We say a testimony is powerful. But lastly, a testimony is precious. It's precious. Listen to this. The Christian must protect their testimony. For once you lose it, it is very hard to recover it, if not impossible. Church, all we have is one shot at winning the lost to Jesus. And we have our testimonies to bear. We have our testimonies to protect. The devil would love to wreck the testimony of a born-again Christian. And he's doing it even now. Many Christians who have thrown the towel, or many Christians who have buckled under the pressure and the weight of sin, really, temptation. None of us are exempt from that. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong testimony. The weight of sin, the pressure of temptation, and choosing not to yield to Jesus, wrong testimony. Kind of think about the parable of the tower and how that this man began to build a tower, but he did not have sufficient enough to finish it. And so the work stopped. And the Bible says that all of those that were watching began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Listen, I, by the grace of God, he saved me, and listen, I started right with him, I want to finish right. I started well, and I want to finish well. I don't want to be like that man who wasn't able to finish that tower, and everybody will mock him. No, no, no. I want my testimony to be such that it influences others that they may want to be saved. We say that our testimonies are precious tonight. We need to protect our testimonies. So no matter what your story is or how miraculous God has changed your life, Satan now wants to destroy your end. But he can only destroy it if we let him. I'll read you a verse in conclusion of the message, the lesson tonight. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7. Notice if you read verse number 6. Matthew 7 and verse number 6. We're applying this right here to this testimony part. He says in Matthew 7 verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. He tells us to give not that which is holy unto the dogs. We have our testimony in how God has changed our lives. That's precious tonight. That's a holy thing for him and his usury. Let us not tonight give that to the dogs. And then let us not tonight cast our pearls before swine. Our testimonies are like a great pearl. You know, I spoke the other Sunday, we mentioned the idea about pearls and how that they're found and how the whole process, we won't have time for all that, but how a little piece of dirt gets into a clam and how that over time, the aggravation of that piece of dirt in that clam, a pearl is developed. And then divers go down and way down to get those clams, those pearls, to get the pearls. Then those pearls are taken out. And then those pearls are put on the jewelry shelf in the jewelry store. Came from a very little place, speck of dirt, depths of the sea, now in the jewelry store as a trophy. And so we see the pearl is our life that God has changed. The pearl is our testimony that God is good and God can help you in your life. Let us tonight not throw our pearls and cast our pearls before the pigs and the slop. Let us protect our pearls. Let us protect the holy things of God that we have, because all of these things are our testimony. And that's all we have really is a testimony. And once that testimony has been marred, again, it is very hard to recover, if not impossible. Will God forgive sin? Yes. But how people think of you is a whole other thing. Let us tonight, let us guard our precious testimonies. A testimony is precious. A testimony is powerful. A testimony is personal. What is a testimony? It's just simply a declaration of one's faith. And how we came to our salvation unto the Lord, that is our testimony. Let us tonight, church, guard our testimonies. Let us be quick to share our testimonies, because there's people in this world that will not come to church, but they just might hear what you have to say out there in the world. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. And for what you do, Lord, I pray that you would take the words that we've tried to convey although our minds are cluttered and, Lord, we just want to get things out the right way. I pray that someone was encouraged tonight. Maybe that they were helped in some small way. Lord, I pray that you keep us all safe, bring us back safely on Sunday. Be with those on Facebook Live and their families and life situations. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, this Wednesday night. I meant to say this in the very beginning, but thank you to Brother Don Rich for covering for me, for preaching for me last Wednesday, I believe it was. And we really, really appreciate that. We went on a day trip and came back, and we're refreshed. So thank you, Brother Don, for being faithful to do that. I know you enjoyed it. I know others did too. All right, well, remember our services on Sunday morning. We will stay protected, but yet we will worship and praying for you. You pray for us. God bless.